Amen. Let's pray together. Right there, just stop with the little baskets, all right, just for a second, okay, guys? Let's just pray after that. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the encouragement, words in so many ways, Lord, in that song. And I know Jonathan wanted me to say this. It's your word, right from Scripture, Lord. Just put the music right there. It's why it ministers to us so deeply. Not from our brains, Lord, but from you. But it resonates so deeply in our heart and soul. Oh, Lord, help us to draw encouragement from your truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, go ahead, guys. Go ahead and continue passing those little ropes out. Take your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, if you don't mind. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Now, why am I giving you a rope? Well, actually, what it is a straight from the Scripture text. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. The last verse there, verse 12, says this. It says, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And that's what you have in your hand right there. You have a threefold cord. In fact, if you unbraid it totally, it'll end up in three pieces. But if you're curious about it, just take just one end of it, and you can unwrap it just a little bit if you want. You'll see there's actually three major rope strands there, and they're braided together. And that's what you see taught in this scripture is, you know, on their own, they would have a certain amount of strength, but braided together, there's great power in this partnership. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And really, that's one of the things that we're going to learn this week as part of our missions focus and labor for the nations is that we don't labor by ourselves. We labor together. Last night, the movie Courageous, I know a lot of y'all seen that movie this weekend. You know, obviously, and I won't give it away for those who haven't seen it yet, but I've seen it now two times. The movie certainly is a powerful message to men and to fathers and families and about our communities and society and all that. But I tell you, one of the things that really grabbed me, and the reason I want to share this message with you today is to culminate the Courageous sermon series that I've been preaching in is, As I wanted to emphasize to you something that I walked away with the first time I saw it, and that is this, that we all need to know that we need to have partners. Just as police officers know how to call for backup. Just as even local police departments have like reciprocal agreements with other neighboring departments where when they find themselves under fire and they need assistance and backup, they will call to another jurisdiction and they will say, hey, send some over. It's one of the reasons that we send resources, financial and personnel, and our own teams and our missionaries, why we go to various neighborhoods and nations across this world. It's what God calls us to do. And we're better together. That's the point of today. It's going to be the point of Ecclesiastes chapter 4. So I want you to do something right there with your rope in one hand and your Bible in the other. Stand with me in honor of God's word. Let me read verses 7 through 12. Then we're going to talk about number 1, number 2, and number 3. Here's the Bible. Again, I saw vanity, meaninglessness, craziness, just all this stuff under the sun. He's saying, when he says that phrase, he's just saying, this is what I've observed. Just stuff that doesn't really seem to make sense. It's just kind of like living life in vain, vanity. Verse 8, one person who has no other, either a son or a brother, yet there's no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks, for whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure? This is also vanity and an unhappy business. One. He says, it just doesn't make sense for you just to do it for yourself. Verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Let's pray to the Lord God, and let's ask Him to help us to really understand the impact of what is written here. Lord, help us to understand these facts about the power of partnership, of what it means for us to join together with You and Your people and experience Your strength. Make us courageous, Lord, I pray, through the strength we find in You, Lord Jesus, and the encouragement we find in each other. In Christ's name we pray, amen. God bless you. Be seated. Here's the first fact I want to point out to you. Right here, he says in verse 8, one person who has no other. He just says, yet there's no end to all his toil. His eyes are never satisfied. So he never even seems to ask, for who am I doing this for? It's like the guy almost doesn't even seem to get what it's like going through life just by himself and for himself. And here's the first fact that I want you to note today about the power of partnership. One is the loneliest number. One is the loneliest number. Now listen to me. It's okay to be alone. In fact, there's times you need to just have some alone time with You and the Lord. In fact, Jesus modeled this for us in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, He departed and went out to a desolate place, and there He prayed. So it's okay to have alone time. It's okay to be single, all right? A lot of folks will use this passage of Scripture related to marriage and married life, and that works. That works. And in the book of Genesis, we're told in chapter 2 that the Lord said it wasn't good for Adam to be alone, so He made him a helpmate. And for the vast majority of people, marriage is what we end up being blessed with and even needing in our lives. But you do have some great heroes of the faith whom the Lord kept single their whole lives, and He gave them the strength and the gift to carry on in that fashion. I think about the Apostle Paul. Look at the Lord Jesus Himself. So listen to me. It's okay to be single. Of course, marriage is a marvelous blessing in the Lord. But it's okay to be single. But let me tell you what it's not okay to be. It's not okay to be a loner. That's what's being pointed out here. Don't be a lone ranger. That's what I want you to hear me say today. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. In Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul gives thanks for the partnership that he had with other believers in Christ. In 1 John 1:7, the Bible tells us that we have fellowship with one another because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So listen, don't be a lone ranger. That was something that New Testament followers of Jesus would have had no real concept of. Because you couldn't survive, literally you couldn't survive being a lone ranger Christian back then. Now, sometimes that's kind of in vogue today, even in the past few years. Well, you know what? I got the Lord Jesus. I don't even need His church. I don't need any others out there. In fact, I've been to church, and maybe you're here today, and you've seen church done bad. And we're not a perfect church here. I'm not saying that. I have never said that. I guess technically I would have been technically the first person to join this church. I mean, my wife and I guess perhaps simultaneously, but I won't lump her in on this. What I'm going to say is if I was the first person to join this church, let me tell you, this church was messed up from day one. Amen? I mean, it just was. It wasn't perfect. Yeah, that hurts, you know. But it's church. I got to tell the truth. Amen. But some of you have been, and you've seen church go wrong and go bad and be bad. Let me tell you, though, the church is part of the Lord's plan because He knows of the power of partnership. That's why you see in Scripture that we ought never, ever to think that this partnership is just about us. What you see in the picture of that threefold cord is the picture of Jesus Christ being in our midst. He said, where two or more are gathered, I am there with them. Now listen, you have the Holy Spirit in your life as a follower of Jesus, all right? One-on-one, right? But there was something, some reason Jesus said that. I think one of the reasons Jesus said, He said, listen, I don't ever, ever want you to underestimate the power of your partnership as brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't be a loner. Now listen, now what I'm not telling you to do is just run out there and take up with the first group of people you can round up to be in your posse. Don't be a loser either, all right? I did a whole sermon series in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1 talks about how you need to use wisdom and care in choosing your friends and whom you're in close association with. So don't be a loner, but don't be a loser, all right? Now listen, you need to know that God has provided brothers and sisters in Christ for you. They're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be perfect. But I tell you what, something awesome happens when people submit themselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, focusing more on His greatness and His forgiveness and His grace than our own faults and frailties and inadequacies. So I mark it down. One is the loneliest number, all right? And what you see then in verse 9, I think, is something you ought to underline, that first phrase. The first phrase in verse 9, two are better than one. That's the big nugget of wisdom here. Two are better than one. One is the loneliest number. Two are better than one. Today's English version of the Bible says that verse like this. Two are better off than one because together they can work more effectively. The Living Bible paraphrase says it like this. Two can accomplish more than twice as much as one, for the results can be much better. Tremendous strength when we're together. You know, there are three things that we all need: companionship, comfort, and counsel. And it's awfully hard to meet those needs by yourself. In fact, in the New Testament, you find the word saint. Saint is a word used in the New Testament to refer to followers of Jesus Christ. I think it's about 99 times that word appears in the New Testament. And as far as I can tell, not once will you ever find it in the singular noun form. You always find it plural. Listen, it was just a given in the New Testament. It was just understood that you're better together. That there's power in your partnership with one another as followers of Jesus Christ. How? How are two better than one? Well, first of all, two are better than one when it comes to working. When it comes to working. Look with me at verse 9 again. Listen, because they have a good reward for their toil. They have more results together. Two are better than one when it comes to your working. You know, if you did a survey of the highest paid lawyers in the United States, what you find is the vast majority of them are in law firms with other lawyers. If you've ever seen a kind of a news story on like really high profile legal cases, usually always the defendant has a team of lawyers and the prosecution has a team of lawyers because they understand that two are better than one. You see it in business. Business leaders emphasizing words like collaboration and teamwork. In the book, The Leadership Challenge, listen to this. Collaboration is the critical competency for achieving and sustaining high performance. Business leaders in this room this morning, you see that wisdom wasn't original in the Leadership Challenge book. You see it right here in Ecclesiastes 4. You see it in history. Now, Thomas Jefferson gets a lot of credit for the Declaration of Independence. James Adams himself said that Thomas Jefferson was a better writer than he was. Yet if you do a little bit of studying in your history, you'll find that to a certain degree it was team effort, that different founding fathers read drafts, they gave input. Thomas Jefferson just didn't do it by himself. You see it in nature. There's a word called synergy that some business folks use or you may come across at some point. Really, it's the idea of how two are better than one. You see that in nature like this. For instance, a team of horses, when they're pulling together, pulls more than the sum total of what they could pull on their own. Take two pieces of wood, set them up, put weight on each piece of wood. You can add that total together, and it will be less than if you take the two pieces of wood and put them together and then put the weight on them. We're better together. Two are better than one. That is pointed out here in this very, very wise scripture. You see it in life, that two are better than one. Children do better in school if parents partner with their teachers. Crime goes down in neighborhoods when communities come together and organize community watch groups. And you see it throughout the Bible. I think about Noah. Now, Noah, it seemed like he hardly had any friends because everybody just kind of turned on him when he was building the ark and standing for the Lord in righteousness. But he had his family. He had his family in the Lord. Think about David. There were times when David must have felt so alone. But you see Jonathan then being that friend. Even Jesus has his disciples. And Jesus, when he sent them out to be his witnesses, he didn't say, now you go over here and you go over here. He said, no, you two go. You two go. The Bible tells us he sent them out two by two. So two are better than one when it comes to working. Two are better than one when it comes to walking. Look with me in the Bible. It says in verse 10, for if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Listen, what would happen oftentimes at this time and in this part of the world, many of the roads were not paved. The roads would have had rocks in them and ruts in them and holes in them, and many of them just would have been dirt and clay and dangerous. And what would have been, and what was so challenging was that someone might have been out walking somewhere, either riding a horse or something like that, and they could hit one of these holes, or they could get knocked down, or they could fall down, and they would have no way to get up. And what would happen is often they would say, why don't you travel with me? We will travel together. We will walk together. And then that way, if you get knocked down, I'll help you up. And if I get knocked down, I can help you up. Two are better than one when it comes to walking. An old Swedish proverb says, a shared joy is a double joy, and a shared sorrow is half a sorrow. And that's true for us spiritually. We need others that can be there to encourage us in our walk with the Lord Jesus and our walk through this life. Because there are going to be days when you or I are going to get knocked down. There are going to be days where you and I fall down. It's one of the reasons that we have Bible fellowship groups and small groups and women's studies and men's fraternity. It's why we have student ministries and children's classes. It's because we understand that we need to walk in Jesus together. Throughout the Bible, you have all these passages of Scripture that talk about one another. Love one another. Pray for one another. Submit to one another. Encourage one another. Be hospitable to one another. We're better together when it comes to walking. You know, an illustration from sports. Jackie Robinson, as you know, was the first black athlete to break the color barrier in Major League Baseball. He went to play for the Brooklyn Dodgers, but what happened was really tragic, and it was a sad time in our nation's history. Oftentimes, when Jackie Robinson would run onto the field, the fans would boo him, and they would jeer at him and even throw stuff onto the field. But what was really tragic was the day he was playing on his home field in Brooklyn. He bobbled the ball while playing second base, and the crowd began to ruthlessly ridicule him, booing, jeering. Pee-wee Reese was playing shortstop. Pee-wee Reese walked over to Jackie Robinson, put his arm around him, and began to stare down the crowd until historians say the crowd grew to a hush. That statue commemorates the day in Major League Baseball history when one man came and stood arm in arm with another man. Because two are better than one. Two are better than one when it comes to warmth. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm just telling you what it says in verse 11. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Now this may not really register with you because you have heat in your house. Unless you forgot to turn it on last night. And then you probably got your attention, all right? Now, I didn't have any problem staying warm last night. My wife was at home, so she was there in the bed with me, but we also had the four-year-old in between us, so I was plenty warm, all right? But what would happen during this time in history is this was a great, great piece of wisdom, because what would occur is particularly, maybe kids, you've been camping, right? You've been camping. Picture camping, boys and girls. You've been camping, and it turns cold. Well, when that would happen, what these folks had learned to do was, you know what we need to do? We need to sleep close together because we'll keep each other warm. And it became a matter of survival. Just like it did a few years ago in Pennsylvania when nine miners were trapped at Queek Creek. They were trapped for 3 days, and actually they were trapped in water. Hypothermia was a real danger. That's a picture there of the rescue capsule, them bringing up one of the miners. They said afterwards that the way they survived it was when one miner would begin to grow cold and in danger of succumbing to hypothermia, the other eight would gather around him and they would warm him. Then one on the outside would get cold and they would then gather around him. One of the miners afterwards said, "We worked like a team. There were days where we all needed help, and then there were days when we were strong." What a picture. What a picture of how we're better together as followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? You ever heard the phrase Three Dog Night? You thought it was a music group. Actually, it's an Australian Aboriginal phrase. And that phrase came from nights out on the outback where it would grow really, really cold. And it would take three dogs to keep you warm. Folks, I want to ask you this morning, how are you staying warm in a cold, cruel world? You need brothers and sisters in Christ, because two are better than one. And two are better than one when it comes to warfare. Look at verse 12. "And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him." Two are better than one when it comes to warfare. Listen, we are in a spiritual battle, whether you accept it or not. I actually checked with Aaron Doubley, who was in the second worship service this morning, just to make sure. I wanted to double check because he's been a Marine and he served in combat in Afghanistan. I said, "Aaron, is it true, right? I read this, but I'll double check with you since you're in the worship service today. Is it true that one of the first things a Marine is taught to do is to dig a foxhole?" He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Do you dig it for one person?" I thought I knew the answer. He said, "No, sir. You always dig it for two." In fact, it was in World War II, the Japanese Army did experiments on the prisoners of war that they had. Threat of death, torture. What could they do to make a soldier talk? They figured out eventually that what worked best was simply taking a soldier and putting him in solitary confinement for 2 or 3 days. They said after that, he pretty much would tell them anything they wanted to know. Folks, I'm telling you, the message of Scripture here today is this. Two are better than one. Don't be a lone ranger in your walk with the Lord. Don't be a lone ranger and try to survive this cold, cruel world on your own. The Lord Jesus has blessed you with His strength and the strength of the saints. Two are better than one. And then look at verse 12, the last phrase. Got your rope in hand? Man, put that rope in your Bible. Put that rope somewhere where you won't forget it. Put it on your dashboard. Students, you know, maybe, I don't know, tie that to your backpack. Put it somewhere, because there are going to be days, there are days where you might feel like you're a loner. But I'm telling you, hear this. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Listen, you've heard the phrase, two's company, three's a crowd. That doesn't apply to followers of Jesus. Threefold cord, the Lord Jesus, and then our partnership with one another. Strong. That's how we're strong. That's how we're courageous. I want you to catch a picture of really just how powerful partnership is. Watch this story from the news. You may have seen it. If you haven't, watch it for the first time. If you've seen it before, watch it this time and marvel at the power of partnership. don't ever forget it. Three's not a crowd. Two are better than one. But I have to ask you today, as you look at your rope, number one, have you told Jesus that you're ready for Him to be your Lord and Savior and to put your faith and trust in Him? The Bible says, remind us, He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. In fact, Jesus, as He was getting ready to go to the cross to pay for our sins, He wasn't whining, He wasn't complaining. You know what He was telling His disciples? He was saying, now I call you friends. He prayed for them and then He prayed for us. So if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, the friend who will never leave you nor forsake you. And then also, let me ask you this. Have you joined yourself with the partnership of the followers of Jesus Christ? Folks, listen, we're His hands. We're His mouth, we're His feet. The Bible says we're His body. We're the body of Christ. So today we're going to sing a song to close out our time of worship today, and I want to ask you something. Number one, I'm going to be down front during this song today. And if you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if you feel as within your, and you don't even maybe know how to explain it, you just feel this urging, maybe you'd call it. Well, I believe it's the Spirit of God urging you, prompting you to surrender your life today to Jesus Christ and to put your faith, your trust in Him as Lord. You may say, well, what does all that mean? Well, I'd like to be a brother to you in Jesus and have an opportunity for me and some other brothers or sisters to talk with you about that. So if today you believe God is leading and spoken to your heart about how you need Jesus in your life, you come forward during the song. Yeah, during the song. During the song. You just come forward during the song. And I'm going to connect you with a brother or sister in Christ. You're going to be able to pray with them. They're going to get your name and some information so we can encourage you in the Lord, all right? Help you to know what it means to walk with Jesus, all right? You may be here today, and you also are, man, you get the picture now that you're not meant to be a lone ranger. You're meant to have partners. God may be leading you to become an official part of this church. The greatest partnership the world has known is the Church of the Lord Jesus. Why don't you become a part of a visible part of that? Right here, right now. We're not going to belabor, we're not going to beg or anything like that. We're just offering an invitation. During the song, you come forward and say, I want to be a part of the Lord's church. We invite you to do that. Maybe you're here today and you are as faithful as the day is long to attending this worship service. Well, you know, my prayer would be that you will not just worship the Lord, but you'll walk with the Lord Jesus with others. Consider in this what I've called the month of opportunity, October Opportunity Month. Consider the opportunities before you to unite with other believers in Jesus in fellowship and Bible study to encourage your walk with Him. I pray you'll do that. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for making things so clear, so straightforward in the Bible. Lord Jesus, today I thank you for the peace that the message here is just so clear, so straightforward, that we're better together. Lord Jesus, thank you for inviting us to know you personally, to be a part of your family, to be a part of your team, to be one of your disciples, to be one of your saints. Lord Jesus, I pray that people here today, that they will embrace that if they haven't already embraced that truth. They will put their faith and trust in you, Lord Jesus, today, right now. Lord, I pray for each and every follower of yours here, Lord Jesus, that today that they will either renew their commitment or embrace firmly, perhaps for the first time, what it means to be in partnership with other Christians, that they'll be a part of your church. Lord, I just want to pray for those who maybe have, perhaps they've seen church just go really wrong. Oh God, I pray for this church. I pray for the churches all around us. I pray for churches out of state, across this country, across this world. Oh Lord, help us as churches to point people to you, Lord Jesus. Help us to stand upon your truth with boldness. To pray for one another. Help us to love one another. Help us to be a mighty, mighty prayer army. Help us to be a mighty, mighty force on mission for you, ready to do what it takes. Take you, Lord Jesus, and your message of hope and healing to the uttermost parts of the earth. Oh, Lord, I pray that you might make this church, Lord, a place where people are able to come to understand what it means to really be a part of your family, be a part of your body. Simply sold out, following without apology your leadership. Oh, Jesus, help us to keep our eyes on you. Lord, I know we're better together. We're better together because of you. Because with you and one another, Lord, we're the threefold cord that is not quickly broken. In Jesus' name. Let's stand and let's sing as we respond to God's word.